This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, September 9th, 2010. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Poetry from the Other Side. When we think of Anne Sexton, we also think of Sylvia Plath and Robert Lowell, her fellow poets in the confessional school. Among most contemporary poets, confessionalism is out, and even a little embarrassing. Not many younger poets write in that mode anymore. Nonetheless, the blue-chip stocks of Robert Lowell and Sylvia Plath seem to have only risen over the years, while Anne Sexton's reputation, well, it isn't what it used to be. To talk about Anne Sexton and to comment on one of her poems, I'm joined by C.A. Conrad, a poet in Philadelphia. Hi, Conrad.
Hi, Curtis.
So, Conrad, when we spoke a few weeks ago, you said that Anne Sexton was your favorite of the confessional poets.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you why, and why do you think she's not as well regarded these days as Sylvia Plath and Robert Lowell?
I believe that it has a lot to do with pedigree. I mean, she was the one, and Berryman would be in that.
Oh, yeah, John Berryman, of course. Sure, sure.
And she was the one among them who didn't have anything more than a high school diploma.
Uh-huh.
She kind of took the world by storm. You know, I mean, she was this self-proclaimed housewife who had a psychotic break, and she started writing poems. In fact, the poem we're dealing with today comes from her first book, To Bedlam and Partway Back, published in 1960, so it's part of that really raw beginning.
So she had a psychotic break, which she writes about quite frequently, but she had a psychotic break and then turned to poetry. Is that how it worked?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And she studied even under Robert Lowell, as I understand.
She met Sylvia Plath in, I think it was 59, at a Robert Lowell workshop. Yeah, and they became fast friends. Sexton was the real shaker. I mean, she really shifted the paradigm.
Shifted the paradigm of what a poet could do and could say?
Could do. She was outside of their schooling, outside of her. She was very raw.
She does seem to be the one who puts the confessions out there, her own troubles out there, with the least amount of artifice. Would you agree with that?
I do. You know, the thing is, she created this landscape of grief that you could walk into. And, you know, I was very troubled as a youngster, and I was hanging around these friends, a lot of morbid friends, and I had a series of suicides around me that were very disturbing, and I feel Sexton helped me. There was this one friend of mine named Eddie, who was from Puerto Rico. He was a drag queen, and we discovered him. He had hung himself in a wedding dress. This is back in the 1980s. The police were so brutal. The one police officer yelled down out the window, "There's a fruit on a loop up here," and then they cut him down in this brutal way. But I remember being interrogated by the police in that room with Eddie's body on the floor, thinking, wow, he's gone. He doesn't have to deal with this. And that's what Sexton does for you. She creates this space.
Well, there is a romance of death in Anne Sexton and in Sylvia Plath.
Yeah, wrongly is, so. I mean, it's just terrible.
You could tell that the poets themselves were often seduced by it and had to really actively resist it and ultimately did not resist it.
Well, you see that especially in Sexton's poem to Plath after Plath's suicide. She says, you know, right in that poem, you know, the death that we toasted to in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I read the letters between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Sexton being erased. Sylvia Plath herself admits in those letters that until she had met Sexton, she had no idea what poetry could be for a woman.
Hmm. Now, the poem we're going to listen to, ironically, is not really in the confessionalist mode. It's called Portrait of an Old Woman on the College Tavern Wall. And here's how Anne Sexton herself introduces it.
The next poem is a voice poem. A friend of mine said it was a drinking song, and it really isn't a drinking song. It's a song written while drinking, perhaps, but it was written in a college tavern where everyone was sitting around singing.
So, Conrad, as she said, it's a voice poem. In other words, it's written in the voice of a dead woman whose portrait is on the wall of this college tavern.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you feel we should know by way of introduction to this poem?
I think it's a very sad poem. I think it's morbid. You'll hear her identifying with the corpse, the hair of the corpse.
The poet identifying, yeah. Okay, so here's the poem.
Portrait of an old woman on the college tavern wall. Oh, down at the tavern the children are singing around their round table and around me still. Did you hear what it said? I only said how there is a pewter urn pinned to the tavern wall, as old is able to be, and be there still. I said, the poets are there. I hear them singing and lying around their round table and around me still. Across the room is a wreath made of a corpse's hair, framed in glass on the wall, as old is able to be, and be remembered still. Did you hear what it said? I only said how I want to be there, and I would sing my songs with the lyres, and my lies with all the singers, and I would, but it's my hair and the hair wreath, my cup pinned to the tavern wall, my dusty face they sing beneath. Poets are sitting in my kitchen. Why do these poets lie? Why do children get children, and did you hear what it said? I only said how I want to be there. Oh, down at the tavern where the prophets are singing around their round table until they are still.
Well, that was nice hearing her voice read it.
Well, she's a very forceful reader, a very compelling reader. There's a refrain in the poem that repeats several times.
Did you hear what it said?
Presumably that's people in the tavern hearing something strange coming out of the portrait itself. Is that how you read that?
I was a little torn by the fragmentation of the pronouns. And
yeah, it's an it. It's not she.
It's an it.
Yeah.
It's not she. But then there's the voice. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is written by somebody who feels really terrible about themselves.
What do you make of the lines that say that the poets are singing and lying?
I hear them singing and lying around their round table and around me still.
I don't know. I want to know who these poets are.
Yeah. She's not quite part of the circle of poets that she wants to be part of, the speaker in the poem.
She was very ambitious. I mean, maybe she was ambitious because she enjoyed writing poetry. Maybe she was ambitious because writing the poems were keeping her alive.
Yeah, there's a desperate desire on the part of the old woman, the old dead woman in this poem, to be remembered.
Across the room is a wreath made of a corpse's hair, framed in glass on the wall, as old is able to be, and be remembered still.
And it's hard not to think that Sexton, that's really Sexton talking. She wants to be remembered in her own way as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a woman who literally at this point when she wrote this poem was trying to not kill herself.
Right.
She was trying to get through the day. I think that there was a very morbid fascination with this portrait on the wall of this dead person, and there's the wreath of hair from the corpse. And, you know, it's really wanting to identify with somebody who doesn't have to deal with problems anymore or pain, the pain that she was experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't talk about her poems without talking about her life.
Yeah.
And they're just, it's very sad. And I really have to say, I wish that young people reading Anne Sexton who are depressed find a way to be cathartic in that bold way that she provides and then finally move away.
Hmm.
And maybe return to it years later, you know, like I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so far away from it now, but it's been really a pleasure in some sense going back to it.
Well, thanks so much, Conrad.
Thank you, Curtis.
C.A. Conrad is the author of The Book of Frank, which is coming out later this month from Wave Books, with an afterword by Eileen Miles. Now, before we leave Anne Sexton, I want to play something of hers that's in full confessional mode. It's quite a long poem, so we'll just listen to the first part.
The title of this long narrative poem is The Double Image. It's a poem about the mother and daughter relationship, seen two ways. It's a very personal poem. It's written to my daughter, but it has a lot to do with my relationship to my mother as her daughter. the double image. I am 30 this November. You are still small in your fourth year. We stand watching the yellow leaves go queer, flapping in the winter rain, falling flat and washed. And I remember mostly the three autumns you did not live here. They said I'd never get you back again. I tell you what you'll never really know. All the medical hypotheses that explained my brain will never be as true as these struck leaves letting go. I, who chose two times to kill myself, had said your nickname the mewling months when you first came. Until a fever rattled in your throat and I moved like a pantomime above your head. Ugly angels spoke to me. The blame, I heard them say, was mine. They tattled like green witches in my head, letting doom leak like a broken faucet, as if doom had flooded my belly and filled your bassinet, and old debt I must assume.
For the rest of that harrowing poem, do a search for Anne Sexton on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can find both text and audio, and lots more poems. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.